All right, so we're breaking down the results from the day, and we got to talk to some good riders already. So, Chris, why don't you just hurry and let's go through some of these results. Start with the category 4-5.
Yeah, let's just tackle the podiums in the 4-5. In third place, Joel Hammond from Chico Cycling Team. Second place was Miles Villahermosa from Chico Corsa Cycling Team. Not sure if those are different teams or not. And the winner of the day there was Bailey Guidi. I'm not sure on the pronunciation, from Tag Race Team.
All right. So now let's go to the threes. And you're going to love this because rounding out the podium and who can properly fill in their team name. So why don't you start with this one?
In third place, we've got Stefan Kreisen.
An X.
He's on Team X. He races for Data Driven Athlete Racing, though, so we'll have to have a little chat with him about how to fill out a registration form. Second place, we've got Madden Titus with Sun Power. And the winner of the day for the Cat 3s is Peter Carolyn from the Olympic Club. So good results there for all three of those guys.
Yeah, we saw the finish on that, and excuse me, there was some crashes, it looked like, in several places, but in the last corner they had a crash, and Stefan, our teammate there, looked like he was just leading it out and did well to finish third. So congrats to all those guys. 55s
was kind of a tough finish.
Let's go five deep on that.
Yeah, we'll go five deep. But there was just kind of break down the last, I don't know, 300 meters. There was two guys from Thirsty Bear off the front. They had maybe a 3 or 4 second gap coming out of that last corner. And looks like they both jumped. And the field was coming on pretty strong behind them. And it looked like there was kind of a touch of wheels with Jerome Nadal and teammate. And Nadal ended up crashing out, and then Larry Nolan was able to kind of put in a big jump. But the top five there was Kevin Willits from Body Concepts Racing Team. Fourth place was Brian McAndrews from Thirsty Bear. Third place was Hans Goens from Thirsty Bear. Second place, Alan Roberts from Thirsty Bear. And the winner of the day is Larry Nolan with Cal Nats Racing. So he put in a heck of a sprint there after doing a lot of work on the last lap to try and bring those solo two guys off the front. So kudos to him.
Yeah, we just got gas. We're on our way home, and I think I just talked to Chris Courtney of the Oak Valley Community Bank Elite Team that was in that race, and he of course said, "Oh, Nolan won." So congrats. Anyway, Chris Courtney, though, 10th. All right, what's the next one we have?
Next is the 35 race. We talked to a few guys after this race. We talked to Casey Fallon of Touchstone Racing. We talked to John Novikov from Data Driven Athlete Racing. We talked with Michael Claudio of Thirsty Bear. Good race. We were all in it. It was a challenging race. The top five there was Phil Tercero from Cortec.
Can we go start at 11th and work our way up? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, 11th was why don't we go? We'll do top 10.
Oh,
if you're 11th or further, it doesn't matter.
No, just do the top five.
Yeah, good. So fifth was Phil Tercero. He's with Cortec. Fourth was Aaron Patterson with Pete's. Third was John Novikov with Data Driven Athlete Racing. Second place was Chris Baker with Touchstone Racing, and winner of the day is Mike Sayers with Touchstone Racing. And rounding out the top 11 was Tyler Yankee with Data Driven Athlete
No,
Racing.
No, doesn't need to do that. Okay, so Pro 1, we just saw that. We talked to Sam Boardman of Mark Pro, and I think also Cameron from Mike's Bikes, and they gave us a little breakdown of those as well. So why don't you go, let's go top 5 on this one. There was a breakaway.
Yeah, it looked like there was a break of 12 that had about 20 seconds coming into the finish. Pretty powerful sprint there in the end. But the top five went to Cooper Rombold. He's from Team California. Kent Ross. He's with Hedrick Racing, traveling down here from Washington. Third place was George Simpson. He's with Elevate KHS. Second place was Scott Law, also with Elevate KHS. And the winner of that day for the Pro 1 race was Justin Williams from Williams Racing. He put in a heck of a sprint, just instant separation. So impressive effort on his part.
Yeah, and we were talking about that, excuse me, because I mean, my thinking was there's no other sprinter in his caliber in the break. So he just shot away from them in an impressive fashion, which, you know, Nate was just saying how it was ridiculous. And it was. I don't know if it's because he was just, you know, he didn't have no other sprinters to contest against. I mean, he had Evan Huffman in there. That's still no joke.
Right. And then the field sprint was also a pretty powerful sprint. Corey Williams from Elevate took the field sprint. Again, they were about 20 seconds back. And Andrew Gosling to Mike Spikes was right there with him, finishing second in the field sprint.
So besides the Pro One race, which was a little GC gap, did you see any GC gaps on any of the other ones?
In the other fields?
Yeah.
Not really. It looked like most everything came back together. I think everything was field sprint for kind of the top five or so. So no real big gaps.
Okay, so we've left. We're going home. We've got to come back and race tomorrow. I know Willie, he got 17th, so he did fairly well in the field sprint there. So we've got to come back tomorrow, so we're heading home. So we are not there to fill in on the remaining races, which are the women's P1-2. They're still going, and then after that is just the Elite 2 race. So maybe we'll recap those in the morning on the way up for the next day. So anything else for you, Kurt? Are you reading some updates?
I was waiting for Kurt to fill in.
Oh, Kurt. Did I say Kurt?
Yeah, that's all right. No, nothing else.
Kurt's not in our car.
I just kind of recap briefly on the day. It was a fun course. It was unique. Had some interesting challenges with the layout, but it was a good, fun, safe race for the 35s, and it looked like it was pretty similar for the Pro 1 race. So hopefully the rest of the fields today are able to stay safe and have a good dynamic race.
And remarkably good weather. It was a little chilly, but other than that, I mean, no rain and, you know, nothing really to worry about on that aspect.
Yeah, sunny skies, very nice.
Nate, do you have anything you want to add while you're driving?
I have nothing to add whatsoever.
Well,
that's unfortunate.
But he added that, so. All right, thanks, and we'll till the next one. Thanks.
Thank you.
First of all, I just want to make a correction to our little race preview we did. I thought it was the old course, and it's this course. So obviously, it's a little bit of a difference.
Casey Fallon, Category 2, racing as a Masters. Touchstone Racing this year. Touchstone, Die, Giant.
Keep going. Is there any more? No.
They're on the back of the jersey.
So let me just ask you real quick. So I didn't race last year, so we had the old course that, you know, about. So this one is a little bit different. What do you like about or dislike about this one compared to the other one? Thunderhill Race, Chico Stage Race. Or whatever.
So the last time I did the other course was P1-2 with Data Driven Athlete 3 years ago. Last year, same course. I think this course is faster because the hills are shorter. On the other course, there's an uphill hairpin, like an uphill left right, like a quick, and then after that, there's a steady uphill climb for a couple hundred meters, and that one really slows the whole race down.
Yeah, did you like this descent and the twistier corners before the finish?
Yeah, the corners before the finish are cool. It's just so fast and wide that it makes it a little sketchy, right?
Yeah.
I'm on the brakes because I'm not taking those chances that a lot of other guys are.
So we got Kurt Mills here still with us, Chris Flyer, and Tyler Yonkin. We just finished today's race, 75 minutes on this course. Casey's team goes 1-2 with Mike Sayers, Chris Baker, and then we actually got John Novikov in third, so we rounded out that podium. Tell us about how your race went, Casey. First of all, you personally, and then kind of what your objectives were, and did it play out like you guys had hoped?
Yeah, it did play out like we hoped. Getting a win is awesome. 1-2 is even better. First of all, nice race, guys. All of you.
Thank you.
Raced really well. Love racing against your team. For me, I didn't get a chance to ride much this week. I raced Bariani on Sunday. So how did that go? Bariani was good.
You did the Masters?
Yep, Masters 1-2-3. Pretty good sized field that broke up early. Group of about 10 got up the road on the climb through the overpass, and they sailed away and had a 2-minute gap all day. So we were in the back group, just a little bit of fireworks, a little bit of negative riding, and
yeah,
just rode in. I think Michael Claudio won. Chris Baker got second. So
you guys are on
another
fire.
Good finish
right now
for your team. So that's a good finish for your team with Baker coming in second.
Did Baker get the overall?
Yes, the overall Omnium? From Land Park and Bariani, yes.
Yeah, congratulations.
So back to today's race. Yeah, for me, that was good. Just a slow start, kind of ease into it. Legs were kind of blocks for the first couple laps, and it was cold out there, so that made it worse. But then I just did my best to get to the front, cover moves, and try to be a good teammate early on.
Did you guys notice that the course was really fast, but you could take any line you wanted to through the corners, so it kind of made it almost sketchier than if it were a little bit tighter? Did you notice that? Because that, to me, it felt really strange. You never knew what a guy was going to do, if he was going to start from the inside and go outside, or literally you could just do whatever you wanted. Like,
yeah, you could. And I think it's really important that the guys that are riding on the front on this course take a nice smooth line.
Yes.
But there were a couple guys that were really struggling. The cool thing about this course is that cars race on this track and leave rubber, which kind of leaves like a line that you should take. So I was just cruising that line and pretty much pedal through anything.
I was talking to actually Chris afterwards, and you know, there's no center line that you sometimes follow to kind of get the flow of how the road should go. So it's kind of wide open, and then you have cars, you know, the track is doing things different. So then you have people just kind of diving weird angles like that. You go over the hill, and then that first corner on the left, really we should be way wide right and then come into it. But everyone's gutting on the left, and then they cut it. And then as on the last lap, our guy, John Novikov, went into the dirt, actually still coming back. So, okay. So things played out for you, which was 1-2. But were you guys planning to try to, you know, get in any breaks early, or just police it and see what happens, and then come and then give us a breakdown of how that last few laps went for you guys?
Sure. So we had 8 guys in the field today.
Do you want to say who they were? Do you remember?
Yes. Let me see if I can run through it. Me, Mike Sayers, Chris Baker, Alex Holtz, Josh DePeace, Jeremy Cattell,
Jonathan Baker.
Jonathan Baker. Missing one. Joe Sterren.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's our
well
8.
Done.
Yeah, so for us, we're always opportunistic and trying to get a break going, and always want, you know, more than one in the break. But on a course like today, we didn't really think that was gonna fly. So of course, Mike's on fire, Chris Baker's on fire with a sprint. So you know, those guys were locked and loaded and ready to go for a sprint at the end. So the point was just to organize a lead out. And the last couple weeks, you know, we've had pretty good contention on a lead out with Pete's. They've been pretty good about getting organized, so it was kind of a little bit of Pete's at the end and a little bit of our lead out. But yeah, I'll just describe the last couple laps for me. I think with about 3 to go, there are a couple little moves that split off, and one of my teammates covered the first one, and then the next one I think I was able to kind of cover that, kind of more or less close a gap. And then stayed at the front, pretty gassed with 2 to go. And then 2 to go, there's a little confusion on whether it was the last lap or 2 to go, and still just trying to stay at the front, be part of the team dynamics. And again, covered a move on the backside. And then with 1 to go, got pretty organized at the front. Let's see. From the back of the lineup, it was Sayers. Obviously, and then Chris Baker, and then Jonathan Baker, and Jeremy Cattell at the front. And really, with 1 to go, Jeremy took over and took a huge pull. I want to say probably 2/3 or 3/4 of the last lap.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan Baker took over and took a couple corners, and then the last 2 corners, Baker took over. And then Sayers, right out of the last corner, it was just a drag race. And, of course, everybody was fighting for the corner there. I think I was a little ways back, like 15th or so wheel. But something that's really cool about what I saw from our team is when we had our lead out going, Mike just talks to everybody loud. And he's just, you know, left, right, you know, fast, slow, chill, like hammer. Just yelling out all the commands to just keep it organized and keep going. So
I can add a little to that, which was coming over the hill. I got John on. I got on Sayers' wheel. So from that first corner over here to the finish, I was basically fighting with Phil Tesero. He was giving me a few elbows to stay on. So we came. You're right, exactly how you're describing it. And it was full gas. And I was really glad you guys were just full out, because for me, I just hold a wheel. For John, who was on mine, and you know, we came around the last corner, and kudos to Chris Baker for coming out of the last corner to lead out Sayers and holding for second. They did create a little bit of a gap, but punched it to the finish, and it was not a headwind, but it's a drag uphill. So good job for you guys. Let me see. So Aaron Patterson got 4th for Pete's, and Phil Tesoro got fifth for Cortex. So and Chris Sayers, Mike Sayers for the overall. So
what do you guys have planned for tomorrow?
We're going to post this out tonight.
I would guess you got Baker, Jonathan Baker there. He might be a guy you try and put in a break, or what do you think?
Something like that. he's just coming back from a long vacation in Mexico. So
he's riding a lot though, because we see on Strava. I mean, he's definitely been training
on the beach.
We're not sure about his fitness right now. He has a really good tan. He has a sweet beard.
Those point towards beer and beach.
He had a pretty sweet beard last year, and he was riding well too. So
I think the beard will probably do him well in the gravel. That's a good factor.
How are you feeling for all of this? I mean, you're call what it is. You won this race as a three several years ago when we had Data Driven with a definitive move out of the gravel. Very impressive.
Yeah, I love this race course. I lucked out that year, a group of 12 or so, and attacked at the start of the gravel, and they let me go and sailed away to the finish. I'm pretty sure that's not going
to
happen.
I want to back that up. You did not get lucky with the break. You got into break, and they did not let you go. You put it down, and you held off to the finish, and then you also had to defend it in the time trial. So you get some kudos. Anyways, keep going. Yeah,
highlight of my career.
That's true.
Can you settle an argument for us? Would you say the section leading into the gravel, the downhill that's a little bit bumpy, is that more difficult or less difficult than the actual gravel? Which plays a bigger role in the race, the gravel or that 2 mile section leading into the gravel?
Oh, that's a great question, right? That section leading into the gravel, I think... that's the factor, right? Because
there's a lot of nerves there, right?
Yeah, you have to be in the right position. You got to be at the front, and that there's gnarly potholes in that section. So I think in our field, it'll probably be harder there than the gravel itself, because usually you settle in, right?
Yeah,
I like that answer. I think you've got a good insight there as to where the critical part of that.
He has won this race before.
That's true. We can probably edit that out though. That's a good take. But you did attack in the gravel. That's where you decided to make your move. Perhaps you don't recall that, but I certainly do, because I was off the front when I saw you come flying by me.
Oh, that's right. So that argument, I see. Well, there's occasionally races where you'll have either a teammate or you'll see another racer up the road. And they've been up the road for a long time, right?
That's true.
And you can sort of see the pedal stroke and the shoulder posture and things like that.
Knees kicking out wide.
I was kind of thinking you might not make it to the finish.
No, we had talked.
Probably a good call.
We had talked before, and Chris had said that maybe the bombed out section before the gravel was more definitive. I don't think it is. I think the gravel is because of its length and just the way it is. But that I think his point at the time, well, how I took it, was don't think that the entrance is any easy feat.
Yeah, nerves. There's a lot of nerves going into
it. It's a crappy road going into it. And you're thinking about the gravel, so you got nerves. And then that road is just shit.
Yeah, you lose center line, you control. So you've got guys coming up on your left side that you wouldn't expect. And it gets a little bumpy and jostly, and you're not paying attention. You hit a deep pothole and pinch flat or something. So there's a lot of opportunity for bad things to happen. But yeah, the gravel's critical too, because you can definitely launch a move there like Casey did as a victory.
Have you heard about how the gravel section is for tomorrow with the weather?
I talked to a guy today, and he said it was really good condition, really well packed. He rode it yesterday.
Casey?
If you guys had joined me on Super Bowl Sunday for the annual Piscenta ride.
Big football fans.
The conditions were great. The gravel, although, as Kurt reminded me earlier, we were riding the course reverse. The gravel was really, really smooth. It was almost like concrete in a few sections. And there's just a couple corners, like that left-hand downhill. It'll be, right-hand uphill tomorrow, but that one section, there was a lot of gravel piled up, so a little bit of a wash. But for the most part, the gravel was really smooth.
But how do you think it is from all this weather that we've had? It better then? Or
according to Chris, who a guy just was out there yesterday, and it was fast.
Yeah, Alex Velez, he rode it today or yesterday, one of the two, and he said it was really well packed, good condition.
So the next question, why didn't you win the Piscenta Super Bowl Sunday ride?
I just was working my way into fitness.
One of those hangover days.
I may or may not have won the field sprint, air quotes field sprint.
Okay.
Does everybody compete for that field sprint? Or
hey, there were some really strong guys in there. I think there might have even been one cat one.
Have you or have you not made fun of people who competed for that field sprint before?
Only when I lost the field sprint.
All right. So anything. All right.
We should let them go. Thank you.
Yeah, Casey, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Great racing with you.
You too.
And cool. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks.
We'll try and collect some people.
Okay, so we got another one here. Can you tell me your name, your team, and what category you just rode?
This would be John Ovikoff, or data-driven athlete. The category would be Masters 35+.
All right. Well, and congratulations today. We just talked to Casey Fallon. He gave us a little breakdown of his team and how they did. And you obviously know. Why don't you tell us how your race went today?
I didn't quite know what to expect. I've never raced a Chico stage race. Always really wanted to. Everybody enjoys the race. It's kind of the big show up here. But I kind of came in with marginal fitness and thought, well, I'm going to kind of stay at the front. It seemed really turny from the map, so I'll just stay kind of towards the front in the mix and keep an eye on some of the usual suspects for a move. And the time just started ticking down and felt pretty good.
So from my vantage point, I did not feel good today right away. I just I don't know what the deal was, but I noticed from my vantage point way snaked in the back or in the middle when I would move up. You were on the front or at the front. And so I knew for the last few laps I was going to have some work to do because you were feeling well. So I was going to have to get you in position. So obviously your mode was today to just stay up there. Were you looking for, well, I know what our plan was, but tell us kind of what your day was like then.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was just looking at the usual suspects, looking for a move. I really thought that a move would get away today, especially with the strong teams that were here. But for whatever reason, it all stayed together. There were a few, threatening moves out there, but it seemed to stick together, and I think everybody was content at that point to sling it out for a sprint.
They had that one move. Jeremy Cattell went off, and then a group bridged up to him. Is that the one Kurt kind of got focused on and brought back?
Yeah,
or helped.
He started jumping from the first little, you call it a climb on the course. He jumped pretty hard over that and tried to bring it back. I think he pulled it to within 5 seconds or so within a lap, and I think that allowed the rest of the field to bring it back together.
Yeah, and then there wasn't much other than that. So
yeah, I know. He did a great job pulling that one in.
You know, it was also interesting. There was some debate at the start of the flyer said 60 minutes, and then they're telling us it's 75. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I didn't fuel for 75. The funny part is the guy is in the back yelling, can you give me time to go get an extra bottle?
Yeah, I won't say what team that was, but I think they did that out of spite, just for the confusion alone, because not like anybody was going to get dehydrated in 50-degree weather out here because they're missing a bottle.
But. And then they started doing the laps, and they posted, hey, 10 to go, and it was, I'm thinking like we're like 45 minutes in, and I thought to myself, like 10, you know, you crit, you're like, 10 to go, we're going to be like an hour. It was about 75 minutes. So
yeah, no, they was right on the money. Yeah, I think they were timing the laps. They had that one figured out.
Yeah, that last 10 laps was a little brutal. So
yeah,
So tell me about your last few laps and how you're finished there.
Yeah, three to go. Kind of wanted again stay kind of towards the front out of the mix. I got pushed back to mid a little bit, middle of the pack, but slid back up on the two to go, and then on the last lap, I found. You know, the magician, Tyler Yankee, his wheel, and made sure I was on him. I got pushed down to the dirt, though. It was kind of interesting. So I got to go a little psycho cross for a second. And it kind of fired me up, you know, getting pissed off that I got pushed out of the course a little bit. But
you handled that well, though. I was a few wheels back and saw that happen. I was a little worried about your ability to stay up and then try and jump back onto the course because there's a little bit of lip there too. So that's well saved.
So the people that are racing, and so you have this climb and then this really fast descent and then this first left-hand corner. We were just talking to Casey about that where it looks like the best line is take it wide and then cut it in. But we all decide to go hard on the left and then try to cut the corner, which means you're extending over the other side almost. And I got on Sayer's wheel there with you on me and he pushed right up to the edge. And then I guess
I was on you.
Yes. And then you didn't have much. And I just want to say, I came up to Kurt about three laps to go. And I said, three or four. And I said, you're going to have to get me to John. I need some help to get up there and you're going to have to do it. And so he fought his way for us. So,
yeah, no, like you were saying, coming on the outside of that corner, really was the fast line. You're able to carry most of your momentum. But I think on that last lap, you know, it's the, that's the corner to go the inside, yeah, and get there first, no matter what the exit looks like. So, you handled that fantastically. I was glued on you. It worked out well.
Well, then you went off in the dirt, and I wasn't sure what happened. I didn't know you went in the dirt, but then I'm hearing a little bit later, I'm looking back, and then you would take us through your finish from that corner to the end.
So yeah, you know, the dirt, I was thinking about tapping the brakes and throwing a bunch of dust up in the sky, thinking that might, you know, scare a few people, get me back on the course. But I came back up to you, put some energy to get back up to your wheel, and you were looking left thinking, where the heck did John go? And so we communicated and you know, you rolled us right up to the corner, that 180 corner, and we powered up over the hill and we hit that final corner in really good position. I think you were sitting fourth wheel, third wheel,
fourth? Third or fourth. I'm trying to remember because I was on Sayers and I want to say he and Baker went 1-2. But when they jumped, there was someone else kind of in there,
yeah,
too. And I missed that. I think at that point I was worried that the finish was going to be a little headwind for you,
right?
Or you know, it was uphill, so I didn't want you to go early. And then I did. I should have probably tried to jump to that corner first, and then kept going. You know,
I didn't want to jump too early either. But man, those guys went right at the corner, so I'm like, well, it's gonna be a long drag to the finish.
And yeah, they created a little enough of a gap where it was you couldn't finish it off. So
yeah,
good
yeah,
job though.
Closing a little bit, but again, just it was a long drag.
Yeah, third place, so well done.
Yeah, I'll take it.
How does everything look for the weekend for you?
Good. I mean, legs feel good. I'm pretty excited. I'm you know, never the good with long mileage, as long as the race is 30 minutes and short and flat, I'm pretty good with it.
So tomorrow looks good for you then.
Yeah, tomorrow, you know, that's a lot of mileage for me, but I just got to make sure I eat. I think that's the biggest key
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Eat, hydrate. And it's relatively flat. I think the little gravel climbs won't be too tough for you. I don't think there's anything over 3 minutes.
I'm just going to be grabbing people's seat posts so I can like get a little ride, you know? I mean,
it gets dusty in there. Nobody will see what's going on. And, so free ride.
Any, and then you have the time trial, which you're obviously adept at. You have a TT bike.
I do. Yeah, no, I think I've got that kind of dialed in. I hope so. We'll see.
So get through tomorrow. Then, I mean, it's golden. You got a TT and a crit. Then we have Travis as well. So
yeah,
it's looking good for us.
It's gonna be great to work for Travis and see if we can't get that guy up on the podium. Getting him to turn a little bit better on a crit, but
he did well today. I was glad to see him up front. Yeah. More. I mean, I actually saw him a lot from my vantage point. So.
Yeah, he had a couple of good moves. There he goes.
We see him. All right, thanks, John, for stopping by.
Yeah,
well done.
All right, thanks, guys.
I am Michael Claudio. I am category 2, but I raised Masters 35-123 for Thirsty Bear.
Presented by
Cognance.
There you go.
And Rambus.
Cool.
I think
yeah,
you're right.
I think so. Yeah. Sorry, Hans, if you're listening.
And how did it go for you today?
Well, it went well. Just tried to stay safe. I mean, this stage is, you know, it's fun. Have fun, but the real race is going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, so we were wondering what your guys' plan was today, and if you even, I mean.
Really, it was to stay safe.
Okay.
Just make sure that, you know, I mean, Phipps and I, of the guys who we have here, are the only two who did this course last year.
What do you think about the differences? You know, we screwed up on our preview. We didn't know about this one. And so we kind of previewed that. And then, of course, we've been parked in the wrong spot this morning. However, all's been corrected. What do you think about the differences in the courses?
I love the old course.
Yeah.
This course is fun. It's fast. I don't think it's hard enough, though, for it to be like a factor. You know, like I feel like the old course, I mean, I don't know. I was listening to your podcast last night, actually, and I was trying to think of when there's ever been a break that got away on this course or the other course that, like, ever made a difference,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. I think I remembered one year in the P1-2 on the old course, some group got away and, like, actually put in a decent amount of time, and I think that's, like, the only time I can remember that one time. But in the Masters field, every time we did that course, nothing ever got away.
Yeah, but a sprint. And matter of fact, right, I think it was you and I, 2 years ago, we're coming down on the sprint, and you're I don't know what happened, but you are rubbing my rear wheel in our sprint.
Oh yeah.
And you're just like, we talked about it after the race. You're like, that's just right. Hang on, Tyler, don't make a big move.
Yeah,
and
cause that's right.
And I don't remember it. I'm not saying anything was wrong.
No. Yeah,
but just, you know, shit happens. And yeah, so
that's bike racing.
Glad you stayed upright.
Yeah, me too.
So you've been riding like crazy as far as results are this year. What's going on? What's going on?
You know, well, first of all, this race has been my target.
Gotcha.
And so everything I did this off season was to get me ready for this. And so I think compared to other years, I kind of made a mental note this off season. I said, I'm going to make sure that I do everything right in my preparation. Like, I've trained probably harder than I've ever trained for anything.
Yeah, it looked like, based on Strava stalking, you did a lot of elevation training up in Utah. Yeah. And I mean, I'd see your rides come up, and it's just like, well, I watched TV today, and Michael rode 80 miles at 9,000 feet of climbing at 6,000 feet elevation.
And look at that nice picture he put up there with his Strava.
Right, exactly.
Well, and you know, actually, it's funny because I got lucky in a way, because I wasn't supposed to be in Utah that long, and I was there for work. My fiance lives there too, so it works out very nicely for me.
Yeah.
But I was only supposed to be there for 2 weeks. I ended up being there for almost 5 weeks because we had a work thing that got delayed, and it got delayed again. And during that time, like, usually it's really gnarly weather up there. It was just sort of gnarly, right? So it was like, it was nice enough that I could get away with riding outside pretty much the entire time I was there. And I got in really good work. But the whole time I was there, I felt terrible because elevation, I just do not feel good at elevation. Yeah. But almost as soon as I got back down here, it was like, oh my God.
And then you've been stacking up the riding and racing. You know, I know you won the Masters, and you've been doing the P12s as well, and the River Ride in the same day. Yeah. And, you know, all those things are, I guess you're timing it out for this one as well. Have you been doing much time trialing, like practice work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like during the week, I get on the time trial bike at least 3 days, you know, which is, I mean, honestly, that's like the only way you can optimize that is if you spend that much time on a TT bike in that position, you know.
Are you doing a trainer, or are you getting out on the road on it?
I try to get outside.
Oh, good for you.
As much as I can. And it's nice because I live near the airport, right? So near the River Ride.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's easy for me to just like spin right out from my house and just do a flat 44 miles, never have to stop. I can just keep it.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Is trying to figure out configurations and traffic and all that stuff. So
right. I don't have to worry about that.
So you're feeling, so this has been your target race. You feel like, and you're obviously been winning everything. So I would presume that you're on target for doing well here, and you feel confident. You're shaking your head. Yes, yes, lots of yeses.
But you know, I mean,
you never know.
You don't. And tomorrow, I mean, so much could happen.
How's the Pescenta stage race gone for you before in the past?
You know, I won it in 2012 as a Cat 3 in a pretty stacked field back then. And it was, I think, the only year where we really had a good team presence. Well, I was on Davis back then.
Yeah.
And that helped because, I mean, we all worked together really, really well. And that race, that's like a special race for me because the stars aligned right, and you know, I had a really good time trial, and it really in that case did come down to the time trial because it was a group finish through Pescenta and through the road race.
And it was the same configuration as this year,
yep.
Starting over by the park and coming through. How do you feel about the two differences?
I prefer this.
This one?
It's harder, you know? I mean, you remember that year 2 years ago when you and I did it, we had that moment coming out of the gravel the second time where it split up.
Yeah.
Right? And had that been this course,
you're done.
It would have been done.
Yeah. That's why I was in the finish.
Right.
Because I got back on.
We got back on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, because it was you, me, Dave Christensen, the three of us.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the Sayers train came by. They were actually behind
us. That's right. Yeah. And with Phipps, I mean.
Phipps, Baker.
That's right. And they just blasted us up back to the group.
Right.
And then, you know, all hell, we had the big wreck right at the finish.
At the finish.
On the sprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So today, I mean, I I spent a lot of time just kind of sitting on the back. Not a great day for me, but it looked like you were pretty active in moves. Did you finish no time lost or anything today? Same time as the lead group?
Yeah, ninth. I was ninth.
Oh, there you go.
And so Phipps and I, we kind of talked a couple times during it, and it was just like, stay safe, just stay to the front, stay to the front.
Right.
And I really just, in my mind, there are certain people I wanted to follow who I knew were people I should watch just in case.
GC-wise.
GC-wise.
Do you want to say who those are? Or?
Jonathan Baker.
Okay, well, yeah. He was on our list too.
Yeah.
And you were on our list.
Yeah. Well, and but that's kind of the nice thing with us, honestly, is that it isn't just me.
Well,
I
yes.
mean, you know, we've got Griff Rath.
Yeah.
And we have Phipps.
Yeah, they can time trial and should do well tomorrow.
And I said, like, we've been talking internally, as you know, you guys probably have, and Phipps said, well, I'm about 75%. I'm like, well, your 75% is like my 100%, so I think we're good. You know, we've got options.
Yeah, yeah.
We look good. So, I mean, I feel really good about it because either one of the three of us could do well.
Who's all here for you guys this week?
It's Chris, Jason Griff Rath, Ken Gallardo, and Corey Scobie.
Okay, so you've got, okay.
Yeah.
Did you mention is that four or five?
Five.
Five with
yeah,
you.
Five.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So Corey's like I think he's going to save the fitness for Sunday. I think he'll be good for us in the crit.
Yeah.
You know, but he hasn't been racing and riding as much like in terms of volume. So he's got to survive tomorrow.
And tomorrow, part of it is, you know, mechanicals. I mean, that's right. That could ruin the whole situation, you know, hopefully not, and then you guys just fight it out for how it is. How do you look for the crit? Is that one that you enjoy, or is it just...
I love that crit.
Yeah, most crit guys do.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I like it because it's technical.
Yeah.
And you know, there, you can get away.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, it's funny, right? Because, I mean, here's a circuit race, and this is, I mean, like I said before, it's not really hard enough for there to be big splits, but I think the crit can be technical enough, and you could see a big split. And back in 2012,
I saw the
P12 where Jonathan Teeter had gone into that in the lead, and he lost his lead because he just got worked by, I think it was Mike's Bikes or some other team back then, and they just worked him over in that crit and put like I think a minute into him. You know, so I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, and so do you know if our time trial is before or after the crit?
It's before.
The time trial is before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah.
It has been.
Because our crit is at little afternoon. We're not going to do TT after that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so you will know going into the time, to the crit, how things stack up.
And
whether to be worried about
it. Yeah, because I mean, like, honestly, we could go into the crit. And, you know, I mean, if things stay together tomorrow, right, which could happen, and the TT is not as decisive, right, and people are still within 30 seconds, 15 seconds of each other, I mean, it could all change in the
time. Do we have time bonuses in the crit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
You've read the technical guide.
Some folks have, yeah. But, yeah, you're right. If it's coming close out of the TT, there is opportunity for guys to get away. And I think it was in the P12 race 2 years ago where oh, goodness, what's his name? New junior for Rally.
McNulty?
Yeah, McNulty had the GC lead going into the crit, and Rally just threw it down and created a gap and then kind of caused a split and took the GC back. So it's possible that you can make up some time there in the crit if you're coming in relatively close to the GC lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which always makes it fun for, you know, there's guys like me, which would be just trying to, I don't know, it depends on John does. Let's just say we're not in the hunt for the overall. Mm-hmm. Then we're looking for the finish on, you know, podium on the day. And then there's the guys trying to create the difference of, you know, the time trialers. And so it makes it, it's a fun mix. So,
yeah, and that's what I love about this race. And that's why I wanted to target it. Because to me, I'm like, this is, you can get the best of all worlds with it.
TT or Merck style, what's your take on that?
I mean, I see both schools of thought. I mean, as a TT guy and somebody who spends as much time on his TT bike as I do, because I'm a masochist, you know, I, of course, would prefer it to be a full-on TT. And I think in the Masters field, I mean, and again, I've heard arguments against this too, but I do think in the Masters field, I don't think it makes that big of a difference. In the lower category stuff, like in terms of like creating, you know, what's the word? Like, you know, they don't want that barrier to entry, right?
You know, that was the one, Ryan Oakes had brought that point up on one of, when we talked to him. And that was the best one I'd heard, but he's also like, you know, keep that for the younger ones and the newer entry. And I'm totally. But I mean, I'm not going to contend in the time trial. And yet I like to see you guys come out there with your TT bikes and, you know, we could afford it. I mean, we're older people. Let us have it. And like I've always said, it's not going to create, I don't think there's going to be a difference. You're going to, you or Phipps or whomever are going to smash me very similarly in the TT with a TT bike or Merc style. It's not going to, it's only going to save whether you want to bring a bike up or not. And
you know, what's funny. So last year, Ollie Ryan won, you know, the overall in the 35, right?
Yeah.
And Ollie got away in the dirt or before the dirt last year. And he and Boynton put in like 5 minutes or it was in a lot of time, right? So the race was pretty much decided going into the TT. But what was great, I mean, he still had to ride his TT. He still had to put up a good TT time, but he didn't bring his TT bike. He just had his Venge, his Aero Venge, right? And he put up a great time on his Venge. I think he was like a place behind me or something. Like, and I was sixth.
Yeah, that's impressive. Then.
So I mean, like,
you're like, does it make you wonder? Hey, what am I doing with my TT stuff?
Right, right. You're right. I mean, you know, it's like at a certain point. I mean, yeah. Like, you still have to be able to hold threshold power.
Yeah.
For a long time and well, right? And
hopefully less time because you're going fast.
Hopefully.
21 minutes?
I think the best thing to do is and we just saw this with Cascade, just come out and instead of, hey, what do you guys want me to do? Which is it's an interesting discussion, and on Facebook it just goes downhill. Right. Rather, it's just like, here's what we are going to do. Come to our race or not.
True.
It's an interesting discussion that goes nowhere.
Yeah, and again, like I think if you're going to go to that whole barrier of entry point, then yes. I'm fully 100% behind the idea of like for the categories where you really want to attract more people, definitely do that. I just don't think it makes that much of a difference for Masters guys or for certain Pro 1 races where, you know, I mean, although I have heard too that like, you know, in Pro races, they're thinking of, you know, doing away with full TTs because it'll make it easier for teams to travel.
And we've seen that with when they go to the Middle East and some other places, you know, like, hey, don't bring your TT bikes.
Right.
I get that. I mean, that's a massive expense, but I don't know if that makes you know, you just need another bike rack on your top of your car.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, man, I this race is going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really stoked about tomorrow's stage. I mean,
yeah, I'm nervous about that for myself, just my fitness level, but I'm excited to see how everyone else is going to do. My biggest goal is finish. Let's do 90 miles, Tyler. Let's make your
be able to qualify for the time trial.
Yeah,
you want to make it the next day.
My whole thing is like building fitness for the crit, and then I'm back in my game again. So
the men's pro race is about to wrap up. They just started the last lap.
It is?
I might cut away to watch the finish of that.
Let's go see that. So hey, nice.
They'll be rolling through in about 3 minutes.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming by. We'll be talking to you some more this weekend. So.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Hi, I'm Cameron Bronstein. I just finished the Pro 1 circuit race.
And how'd that go for you guys?
It was good. I rolled off the front like maybe 40 minutes in, and one guy came up to me, and we rode together off the front for like 25 minutes, so that was hard. but it took the pressure off our team, and then Chris got in that final break and got fifth, so it's a pretty good result. He'll probably do a good TT on Sunday, so to have him like in a small group 20 seconds off the main field is huge.
So hour and a half race, is that correct?
Yeah.
And when did his group form in the race?
They pretty much went like, well, there was a lot of movement like an hour and five in after we got caught, and then that break formed in like the last 10 or 15 minutes.
And what did you guys do anything to kind of help keep it away, or?
We just kind of like Yeah, I mean, we just waited in case it came back. We would counter or something, but it worked out pretty well. We almost got two guys in it, but then I think it blew up a little bit.
Now, it looked like to me that all the big teams are pretty much represented up there. Was anybody driving or missed it in the group that was trying to drive it and bring it back?
I don't think so. I think all the strong teams had at least someone in there. Otherwise, it probably would have got brought back because it was only maybe like 15 seconds off. So I think that's why it stayed, and the strong guys like carried it to the finish. So.
So how does this look for you guys for the weekend? And you said Chris is kind of your point man?
Yeah, I think it's a really good result for us. Just like I said, to have one of our strong TT guys with a little bit of time advantage from the main field. Evan Huffman finished in that group, and he's going to be hard to beat overall because he's really fast on the time trial. But anything could happen on Saturday. It's a long race, and we'll definitely try to get someone in a break and keep the pressure off our team so Chris can just sit in.
Have you done this Chico Stage race many times or a few times? Or
This is my third year doing it in a row, second year in the Pro 1. So.
Now, how about what does it look like for you guys tomorrow in the race? What's in your particularly?
For me, I'd love to ride in a breakaway. I'm going to be really aggressive in the first lap. The gravel is super fun, so... Yeah, I mean, we'll get someone in the break no matter what, and hopefully allow Chris to just sit in and rest. He could do a really good finish if it was all together in the last few kilometers. So, yeah, I think we have plenty of options.
Yeah, we'll like to look at have some gold wheels on the podium at the finish. So
yeah, that would be sweet.
Thanks for stopping by. Good luck.
Thank you.
I'm Willie Myers. I just did the P1 race of the, what is this, Thunderhill Circuit race?
How'd you do?
I was okay. I don't know, the break was maybe 10 people, and I think I got fourth behind it, so nothing great, but it's fine.
You had a teammate in the break, is that correct?
Yeah, and it's our GC guy, so it was a perfect situation.
And who was it?
Sam Boardman. Okay. So we just figure he's up there, let's let him do what he wants to do, and we'll see what happens.
And so I just talked to Mike's Bikes guy, and he was indicating that no team was really chasing. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah, no. Everyone had someone in it, so there was no real want to chase. And once that happened, it was pretty obvious that they were going to stay away, you know, which is, you know, it's for me, it's disappointing. So I was kind of ready to sprint, but it's good for the overall because, you know, Sam got a little bit of time on other people. That's fine.
So how did it set up for you coming into the finish? It looked like Corey Williams took the field sprint, Justin Williams taking the actual win on the day.
Yeah, it was because no one was chasing in the final couple laps, it felt a little too slow. But then on the final lap, with a couple turns to go, it went very fast, kind of going into the almost 180. I did a real good job of sitting on Corey's wheel until I probably should have, and then I lost it by a couple bike lengths. Everyone just kind of stayed where they were.
So how does this look for you guys for the week, the weekend? And you said Boardman's your man, so.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect. You know, this is the situation we wanted to be in. With a break went last year and won, and that was how the GC was decided. So that was kind of the plan this year, is if something goes, for Sam to be in it. And that worked out. So, you know, yeah, we didn't win the stage, but that's fine.
How about for you on the next 2 days? You just wait for the crit?
The next two stages I just have to finish the bike races. You know, it's like there's no real thing I need to do. You know, make sure if someone flats, I'm there for a wheel change, and that's about it.
Well, the good team. Hey, thanks for and good luck, all right? Thanks.
Oh, thank you much.
Take care.
My name is Sam Boardman, and I ride for the Mark Pro Cycling Team.
All right, I just talked to Willie, and you were saying, where did he go? I don't know, but how did it go for you today?
I think it went perfectly. I mean, I think the only goal today was to not lose time. Jason Salzman just pulled up next to me and gave me one of his famous looks. He's literally salty right now.
He is the Saltzman.
He's also cold. The only goal for today was to not lose time, just because I'm trying to put a lot of eggs in the TT basket right now, just because I've been working a lot on that in the off season. But it actually worked out perfectly because I gained a little time because I made the front group in the last 30 minutes, and then they started to roll. And on the little, like, tiny little roller hill on the backside of the course, there was just a little push, and that ended up being the selection. So I think our group consisted of maybe 12 guys and, you know, with at least like one or two guys per team. So I think the finishing break ended up being about six or seven dudes in the selection. I wasn't about to win the sprint matching up against guys like Reichert, Huffman, and Justin Williams. So I just wanted to, you know, see what I could do in the sprint and then just maintain time and hopefully gain a little bit.
For the GC, yeah. So who was pushing the break? Was everyone contributing pretty well?
I think everyone was contributing pretty well. I obviously, like, because I wanted to gain a little time, seeing that that was then an option, I was definitely, like, pushing, but I didn't want to gas myself too much because I did want to try a hand at the sprint, but obviously that wasn't in the cards. But I think everyone was pulling equally, which is nice. You know, you don't want everybody to be yelling and then lose cooperation, and then boom, there goes the break.
Who else was up there that's a GC threat, do you know?
Evan Huffman, I think. He's, like, the big GC threat. And then a couple other guys who can TT really well. Reichert can TT pretty well. And the thing about this course is, in most cases, like, the GC is solidified in the time trial just because the road race can be selective, but once the GC is set, quote-unquote, in the circuit race, most people tend to control it a little bit more in the road race and just let the selections happen naturally through the gravel. But if everyone can hold their own in the gravel, then there's not really going to be a selection via climb or crosswinds or something like that.
Yeah, so more don't lose it with a mechanical, and if you're there, then the TT can handle. And you said you've been working on your TT, so how is that going, and how are you looking forward? And have you done this race before?
This is my third year doing this race, my second year doing it with the team. And like the time trial is my kind of time trial. It's a bit of a longer one, so 10-mile time trial and flat. So like I pretty much just been working on in the off season, maintaining position and just holding the aero position, which, I mean, as any like time trialist or time trial aficionado will tell you, like, it's not comfortable. And so the whole point of it is just like trying to do as much time on the bike as you can, just so you are comfortable and you can maintain it without, say, lifting your head, giving up a little bit of aero gain to just kind of relax your neck. So if you can just hold it and just suffer in that position for a little bit longer, then, you know, you can gain a couple seconds, and that's pretty much what I've been working on.
How many guys did you bring here for this race?
We brought a full squad. So I think we have something like 7 or 8 guys here. Just because this is our first big domestic race of the year, we sent a couple guys down to the Dominican Republic earlier in February. But for some guys, this is their first big race with the team this year. So we wanted to, you know, show up and bring a good selection.
Yeah. So you should, I saw you did, you were at Land Park last week. Is that correct?
Yep. I was. I was there just helping Willie out. Unfortunately, he had a mechanical in the last 50 meters, which I think cost him the sprint. I would say he was about to blow the doors off of those guys in the sprint. But unfortunately, his cleat unclipped and he still finished third, which I think is really impressive. But that was pretty much just like a tune up race for this.
All right. Well, Land Park, Chico, so good. Yeah. Step up. Good luck to this weekend, and I hope your team, you said you think you guys can help defend everything if you need to.
Yeah, I think so, and if not, we've got plenty of options, to use that cliche. We've got a lot of really strong guys who are really versatile, who can A, ride gravel really well, but B, hold their own on some of the punchier aspects of the course. So if I end up having a mechanical, we've got plenty of guys to choose from.
Have you been out and seen the gravel lately to see how it is?
I haven't been out there lately. If I remember last year, it's actually pretty packed. We'll see how it goes depending on the weather. I think it's supposed to rain a little bit tomorrow, so that could change the course completely if it's just complete mud fest. But if it's anything like last year and be a little packed, it won't be that crazy. I think it'll just be a matter of just staying safe in the wheels and then just keeping an eye out on the mechanicals.
All right, well, good luck, and thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you again this weekend.
Thank you.